Welcome to the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite, your premier destination for transformative insights, expert guidance, and unparalleled motivation. Join Jimmy Clare, a distinguished thought leader, renowned motivational speaker, and devoted autism advocate as he shares inspiring stories, cutting-edge strategies, and actionable advice to empower you to shatter obstacles, unlock your potential, and achieve crazy amazing results.
Yeah, that's my week today. And let's just welcome that before I get on a rant of something else, which I probably will still get around on a rant of something else too. Here we go. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me on the cast today.
Definitely. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like you said at the beginning here, my name is Zach Coleman, and I actually own a motivation and grit-focused agency called Gymmark. I actually help leaders in the gym space build their brand and understand the premise of leadership and how branding is leadership in a nutshell. And we have plethora of packages that we kind of work with these gym owners. But for the most part, it's all about branding and how branding in itself is not just about the tangibles. It's not just about a logo. It's not just about a color scheme or a font or a voice. It's all of those, but it's really the leadership team and the evolving aspect of the people in the organization that end up making the impact that the brand really needs to take as they continue to grow their gym.
That's amazing. So, you know, so my first question for you is, why do you think most brands and gyms fail?
This is an interesting question. Well, you know, when it comes down to it, I actually talk about this in one of my speeches. You know, they do say that, you know, about 90% of businesses fail. I mean, I think that's a pretty common statistic. We all hear it as businesses continue to grow. But if you actually go into that case study a little bit deeper, you'll actually see that 90% of those businesses fail due to the well-being of the business owner. They either get too burnout, they either they just don't know their why anymore. They lose their why. That it tends to be a very big common one because they kind of have what gets them there won't get where they got to, won't get them to the next phase. And really, it's that sense of belonging and community. I think a lot with, you know, you kind of brought it up earlier with using a tool. You know, I think that in today's commonality, everyone just kind of gets to this place where they kind of start grasping at things, trying to build validation for what they're trying to do. And then they get to a point where they're either doing too much of the wrong things or they lose their why and they use tools and they hire out and they get into this transactional type mindset to try to get them to the next level. And that in itself isn't necessarily what's going to get them to that next stage. And so they completely have burnout and they lose their sense of belonging and community. And so I've tended to see that that sense of belonging and community is really kind of the underlining factor, especially for gym owners and gym leaders, that they tend to lose and that they tend to need to kind of bring back and understand that, hey, why are you doing this to begin with? What is the main reason why you came to build this gym? And, you know, I'll say 99% of it is because they want to help people like me, like you, like other people grow mentally and have a space where they can come and they can actually build their own community of people that they can work alongside to become better people, if it be from a physical level, if it be from an emotional level, if it be from any sort of level to help them stay grounded and move forward in their life. And so going back to that, the question there of why do 90% of businesses fail, it usually comes back to that business owner just being overwhelmed and not really having a sense of how they can kind of take it to the next level. And unfortunately, a lot of them quit due to that reason.
I definitely like your answer, especially because there was multiple times where I've been burnt out And I have to say, lately I've been kind of feeling a little bit burnt out, but not due to the business aspect. It's just because of my course at the moment that I've been taking. And me and math and numbers do not work together whatsoever. I mean, I can do math, but when I have to play, figure out what the professor's trying to have me to learn and what the software is asking me to learn, I'm like, this is two separate things. I can't figure this crap out. And so I've been literally trying to figure out strike a balance between creating new content, repurposing content, and then also how much I want to handle so I can then continue to move forward and build up my brand, because I'm not getting to the other aspects of my business. And so I've been playing, like, I have a content schedule, and I'm like, and like next, the following week, I'm supposed to release something. And I was like, I might just take this thing out of my content schedule because it's the same thing as my articles that I write and have guest articles. So I was like, this is too much. Just putting out boom, 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 and I'm not going to do anything else.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I think especially in today's modern society, we kind of get to this point where we think that what is the terminology? Like what do they say? They call it hustle culture. I think it's very similar to that. You're like, and it's all about, hey, push, 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 push. And I think that that's part of that burnout, right? You kind of get into this point. I think right now you're seeing a lot of businesses, especially larger ones, within, we'll just say like, you know, it's still kind of a medium-sized business, but we'll say 5 million to 10 million, kind of cutting back and saying, all right, like, do we really need all this complexity in here? And back to your statement of, you know, dropping out certain things, I'm not a fan of the hustle culture. When I went through my actual period myself, where I was like, I'm burnt out, I don't know what to do. And I'm not saying people don't have small tailor spots of burnout. I mean, it's common, especially as people that really have a determination to help a certain help people, is that there's never really this end. And so there's this premise that you think you have to work like 60, 70 hours a day. And I've always really been really big into the grit culture. I'm more of like perseverance, like try stuff, test stuff, do stuff. And now I have a family. Now I, you know, during that time, I was at complete burnout myself. Like I was no longer going to the gym. I wasn't going on the runs like I used to go on. And I actually had to come back and look at myself and say, hey, what are the things that I'm missing that I can bring back in and actually work less and start working smarter? And so instead of trying to push out, like I was in a very similar situation as you, I'm like, all right, we're gonna have a podcast. I mean, and I have a team, and so and it was still hard, right? I'm like, I have to put out a podcast, put a podcast, we're gonna take that podcast, we're gonna make it a podcast video, a YouTube video, we're gonna break it up into three segments, we're then gonna break it up into 30 shorts, and then we had our normal YouTube schedule. I had to kind of sit back and say, really, at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, once I started to go back to the gym and started to connect with myself and like slow down a little, actually slow down, it actually helped me really think creatively on, well, what is really going to move the needle? Is doing all this content going to help me go where I want to go? And is it the direction I even want to go? And so as I started to look at that and started to contemplate that with myself, I kind of started to see that like, hey, I'm not he I'm not in the content, you know, I'm not in the content game. Yes, we still put out content, we still put out a decent amount of content, but I'm in the help the leaders in the gym space game, you know. And so I had to find myself enough to be like, oh, I can connect with these people in a more confident way, not just sitting behind a desk and creating content. Like, what are other ways I can start connecting with my audience? My, how can I start finding a way to confidently provide how? And that's where the my confidence pillar comes into the word branding is, you know, how, you know, like I thought sitting behind the desk and doing all that stuff was going to work and push all that stuff out, but I was kind of masking who I was and not allowing myself to confidently go out there and be like, well, I love working with these people. Why am I not just, you know, going to events and talking to them or building relationships with them in different spots where we actually are, you know? And so I know that's a little different and I'm got off the subject there a little bit, but for the most part, I think that, you know, that grit culture and really being able to find that perseverance and say, hey, like, I'm going to try something for like 2-3 months. I'm going to do it slow. I'm going to take my time, and not by take my time, take the years, but, you know, I'm just going to make sure I'm learning and I'm going in the right direction and I'm taking risks that I think are going to be good for me and my time as I continue to evolve as a brand.
I love that you said that because, you know, just to reiterate, for me, I'm trying to, I'm also, for instance, I felt like I've been stuck behind the scenes too much, not really looking for my speaking engagements lately, and I haven't seen myself going on any podcast interviews, not because I don't want to, but I've just been wrapped up in school, wrapped up in business, and on the backside of things, I've been loving interviewing more guests more, which is great, but I also need to find time for other stuff, and so I was like, if I take away this one thing, I think anybody's going to know, and I was like, I'm still churning out great content, and it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. And so I was like, I don't think anybody's going to know. And if they do, it's going to be the people who's been watching the brand since day one. And I'm sure they're not going to care because they know that I'm only one person. And it's like, if I didn't have the screen on behind me, on the screen, I would be in my bedroom at the moment. And it's like, I don't have a studio. Trust me, I don't have a group of team members. I'm one person. Now, if someone can clone me 8 different times, then I can have 8 different me. That'd be great.
Yeah, and I would have put yourself down. I think you answered your own question there because I think it goes to show you that even though you love being on podcasts, because I love being on podcasts, I love talking to people as well. It brings up my the side of me, my creative side and my speaking side a little bit, but it doesn't outweigh my main purpose. And, you know, back in the day, I would do the same thing. You know, I'd be like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing this. It's not really doing anything. And yeah, there's a difference between doing something and there's a difference between doing something and then knowing if something's working or not, you know? And so I think when it comes down to you knowing, hey, like this isn't, I don't think someone's going to watch this. I think it really comes to your gut and you knowing, why am I still doing this if I know it's not having effect? You tried something, you gave it a shot, and you're like, let's simplify, let's bring it back, and let's start focusing on something else, especially your speaking. When reading your bio and what you've done, you know, I'm a very similar person. Like, I love to go out and speak. I love to go out and talk. It really makes me, it builds me up and actually makes me perform better. I'm a consultant at heart. You know, when I grew my business, you know, it started getting really deep into the weeds where I was behind the desk a lot, even with having a virtual team, you know, and doing a lot of work. And that was part of my burnout. And that's when going back to the gym and stuff, helping start to bring back my aliveness of, oh, you know, I want to speak. Like, I need to get in my uncomfortableness. I need to start speaking. And that's in itself was a leadership move on my part because it helped me actually start to lead by example for my team members to see the efforts and the things that we're trying to do to move the needle within the business.
So what is your definition of leadership and what does it look like?
My definition of leadership is really, you know, I look at branding as leadership. And so if I go into the three C's, which I don't want to go into them too much because we only have 30 minutes here and we only have 10 minutes left. But, you know, a leader is someone that doesn't just lead by example, isn't just someone that's able to sit down and be like, hey, I've done this. I've gone through the hardships and I've done this before they start to, you know, bring it on with someone else. But they actually work with a team and they actually are able to work with people and actually help motivate them to want to help more people. You know, it's this commonality that people think that leadership is all about just, oh, I need to hire people, you know, or I'm doing work and I'm a leader. I'm like, no, that's a delegator. You know, you're a manager. You can be a manager and a leader. It's really an evolutionary process. But I think a leader actually looks at the common good and, you know, the common bad of everyone and kind of sets a, you know, a straight tone of how can I really motivate and help other people motivate more people. And so that's why I really relate it to branding, is because branding's really this essence of how you're portrayed to other people. You know, how are you portrayed to other people? How is, you know, your logo is great. You know, when I have clients come to me and I'll use it. This is actually quite good example. I had a prospect come to me last week. And this prospect, we got in a call. We were talking about the growth of her business. She was in marketing as well, owning an e-com brand in the gym space. And she was like, hey, you know, we're getting to grow this brand, blah, blah, blah. We kind of started going through pricing a little bit. And I told her, I'm like, yeah, our budget for this is a certain price. You know, I told her around 20 grand for us to start building this out and to start doing that stuff. And I'm like, how does that sound to you? I'm very open. I live by my values. And I think most leaders live by the values of what they try to portray to the world. And she was like, oh, that sounds great. And so I was like, all right, let's set up a call next week. We're going to go a little bit deeper into this before we can actually go, you know, before we actually finalize anything, because I'm big on relationships. And she said, okay, we picked a time. And then after the call, about 30 minutes later, she canceled. And I never heard from her again. I wrote her, I'm like, did we pick the wrong time? What's going on? Never heard from her again. And from my perspective, I look at someone like that and I'm like, okay, she's not really leadership material yet. I'm not saying she won't be, but she isn't yet because she didn't have enough. She didn't have enough leadership skills to be just a straightforward person with the person on the other line of the phone. You know, she wasn't like, oh, you know, that money, that's not good. That price range doesn't work where we're at. She didn't want to talk about the business. She didn't want to talk about how they're trying to build this vision and do all this stuff. And so I was like, huh, like she wasn't a good fit for me as a client because I knew that she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready as a leader yet to make those decisions and to be upfront and real and straight, positive or negative, right? And so I like to use that as an example off the top of my head because I get that all the time with prospects and with actual clients I have. You can tell the ones that are in it to help other people, and usually leaders, even if things happen badly, leaders usually are more successful than delegators.
I agree. And my definition of leadership is you lead by example. You don't say, you know, I'm one of those leaders who, not like you personally, but just as a whole, where it's not do what I say and not what I do. No, as a leader, I work out 6 times a week. Now I admit that sometimes I do take 2 days off, depending on, like, if I'm really hurting from cry, like, oh my goodness, since I hurt my wrist and whatnot, and I was like, oh, I did overkill in karate class and whatnot. Because I do that 3 times a week plus whatever else I work out at home with, and I so But that's like once in a blue moon that I do that. But other times I do work out 6 times a week. So, but there's a point of being is like be consistent. But my point is that I always like to lead by example. I can't stand leaders who say, "Do what I say and not what I do." And it's like, yeah, blah, blah, y'all talk. And it's like, I can't stand leaders like that. And I'm like you, I can't stand people who can't show up to their designated times. That's why I have multiple email communication with people just to make sure we're on the same page, because it's like, it's like, for instance, in those calendar tools like Google Calendar or Calendly, they give you those thumbs up, I'm coming, or the check mark. And it's like, that means squat to me. And it's like, because like the people's like, I'm coming 3 minutes before, doesn't show up, or 5 minutes before, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's like, okay. And it's like, I'm giving this people free promotion on my show. And it's like, you don't pay me to come on your sh my show. And it's like, come on, people. And I just can't stand those kind of people. And to me, that speaks to me that those people are not serious about representing their business, and then not representing what they do. And it's like, well, you're ashamed of what you do and you don't want to come on.
Well, I think that brings up a very good point. And that point is that we are all brands. I think that the way you act and the way you do things is going to be portrayed in everything that you do. So, for instance, someone that who knows? You never know. They could have been bad at technology, something could have came up. There is a huge thing that we can't really get into now, but the psychological of different types of personalities. My wife's a family trauma therapist, so we gotta go through this color wheel where I can kind of see what I can tell, what kind of color anyone is just by getting talking to them for like 3 minutes. It's very business leadership type thing to understand personality types. But besides that, everything that you do, like I, for instance, I will not, if I am going to miss a meeting, if I am going to miss a meeting, even today during this call, I told you I had to get up. My kid cried at the last second, which I had no control over. I waited until you jumped on before I was like, "Hey, can you give me a minute?" Because I didn't want to be disrespectful and just be gone when you turned on and be like, "What the heck's going on?" It portrays who you are. And that same kind of concept, especially if you want to look at it from the three C's that I talk about, you think about confidence and the way you how you portray yourself to the world, is that branding in itself is going to be portrayed by, they say, your voice, your tone, your energy, not just your colors and your logo. Those are all part of it, but the way you are and you represent you and your brand is how your business is going to be run. It's just common, and people are going to see that. And your business will start, you as the leader will start to portray these types of personality traits within your hiring processes, within what you do, within how you do stuff. And there's nothing wrong with having certain personality traits, and maybe you're just not good at following through on scheduling and you need an assistant. Totally fine, but the premise of what I'm trying to come down to is you need to lead by example yourself and how you want to be treated to others. And that is also going to be represented in the way that people see you and the way they see your business run, they see your brand run, they see you, them as a customer to you. And you just usually back to that connection type of mythology of my three C's is you're going to start feeling like those situ similar type people, very similar to you saying, "Hey, I'm like you, like I get mad at this or do this." Those connections start to find each other, their value, they have similar values, they start to connect with like-minded individuals. And that's in a sense part of branding, right? You want to target market, you want to be able to market to those target markets. That's branding, and enough, that's positioning. It's just really getting those things down and understanding, all right, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to do it. for who you are, and this is how the business is going to be run, that really determines so that you can start to build that infrastructure around you as a leader, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to bring up a point that you said that, you know, people will perceive you by your brand and voice and whatnot. And because, like, the other day, let's just say my Facebook account got locked, so to speak. And I was like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. And I was like, all I did was post a link from my website to my personal page. And it's like, okay, how wrong was this? And what really bugged me about it, and it's like, I got the kind of login. It's like, we want to make sure this is you. And it's like, who else can it be? And it's like, my password is like a million characters long. It's like, good luck cracking that. And then what I found out, and this is where, with my brand, I love to be transparent with everyone. And it's like, I'm just going to shift gears real quick from that point, is that when my website was down a periodical one time for maybe an hour or two, it was because I was removing an ad network from my website. And it was just a network that uses a content delivery network, etc. All based on DNS. I'm getting a little nerdy. I get it. And then so while I was down, I shared with everybody, hey, we're down. I'm not leaving anywhere. You can't get rid of me that quickly. And then I posted an update, I'm back. But now back to my point about Facebook. So yes, when I was experiencing these problems with Facebook saying my account was locked and I had to unlock it multiple times, well, I found out they were down for 30 days. I mean, 30 minutes. And I'm like, huh. And you told me I have suspicious activity. I was like, how about you go check your own stuff, Facebook? As I like, take a look in the mirror. I was like, I wish that they were actually transparent on their public pages and say, we experience issues, but they don't tell anybody that. They just wait until somebody else figures it out and that person reports it to the whole world instead. I was like, they're not very full of transparency.
They're not, and that transparency is a real thing. I think that goes back to what we said earlier. But I think there's also a commonality of, you know, and to get off the subject of Facebook a little bit back and more towards, you know, not just leaders in the gym space, but anyone that's trying to grow a brand, it's the scaredness of allowing yourself to grow and try to make it to that next level. You know, no matter where that level be, you know, and we could use it on a money scale, on the size of business. We could, you know, I could come in and talk about like the stages of growth and what I've seen with different individuals and their mindsets and their shifts. Don't really have time for that. But is that ability that it really comes down to that we all are living in this world now of media and technology. What we're all missing is community. What we're all missing is our ability to interact with other people, build relationships. And it's not that it's missing per se, it's that it's masked by this sense of, hey, everything's just transactional now. Let's go online and let's just build this and this. And there's nothing wrong with promoting your brand, promoting your business. But at the end of the day, we need to get back to our relationships. We need to get back to having a gym partner. And when it comes to gym owners specifically, community is almost missing now. I mean, getting geeky myself and talking about digital marketing, every single company that I have either talked to out of the 8 years I've been in business, there's a kind of couple that weren't like this. A couple of my great clients aren't like this, and that they're my ideal clientele, but a majority of them are like, just show us a price, or just, you know, like, what is the cost of this? And it's like, well, I don't know. Like, I want to build a relationship with you. I'm not here to just make you more money. Like, I'd be willing to help you help other people by, and an aspect of that is building more money. And that goes the same for gyms. There's a sense of community that's lost because they spray the wall and they just think that, hey, we need to just grab every single person from our local area, bring them here and make as much profit as possible. And in reality, what's really going to build them up is building a much more sustainable lead flow, building a much more solid community that's going to just keep growing is, one, position yourself off of who you are as a leader, position yourself visually in a way that's going to start attracting the type of members that you want to be attracted with. Two, start building that experience around, you know, like, why are people coming to the gym? Why do you go to the gym? Why do I go to the gym? What are the things at the gym that make that my safe place to want to go and work on myself? And then three, that reputation will start building itself. You know, you're going to start getting advocates. They're going to start bringing other people to the gym. It's going to start building an actual community of like-minded individuals. And that's what gym owners really need, leaders in the gym space really need to get back to. And you could say that about a lot of businesses, to be honest with you.
I like that you said that that there needs to be community around business, etc. Because one thing I love about, I love many things about karate, and I could literally sit here and have a whole episode of karate, but my most favorite thing about karate is that I get to meet amazing people. They're all likable. They're friendly, community-based. I met so many people at karate, like, hey, like, for instance, I have multiple friends at karate. Like, they got to know me and for who I am, etc. And I was like, hey, I'm looking for recommendations. Do you know anybody, any doctors who works on necks, etc., just to monitor my neck issue? And it's like, yeah, I got you. And I was like, yeah, I can get you the guy's name. Are you going to be here such and such the next day? And it's like, yeah, I will be. And there's like, yeah, great. And I was like, I'll send it to you, or I'll send you a message on Facebook, etc. And so it's that kind of stuff that I like, because, I mean, not just that kind of stuff, but to be able to say, hey, you know, I have another community I can reach out to, hey, I need help with this, versus I have to go do this all on my own and trying to figure out, no, does this doctor take my insurance? Where can I find this doctor? And it's like, one thing I've been learning these days is that, unfortunately, you can't go just get in to see a doctor because they're all booked out for months in advance. But if you know somebody who referred you to this person, it's like, oh, Ray, I know that person. I really like him. Yeah, you can get in. It's all about referral.
I'm not saying that everything has to be referral within a business. Referral is great. You know, I'm in marketing. But I'll tell you right off the bat that, you know, and I have this sense. I don't know how many people have this, but I it's just because it's ingrained in me. My magic powers, I can see a business, the front facing side of a business. I can see that business. And the first thing that I will go is I will know how good the customer service is, how good the organization is handled. If I'm going to get my stuff in time, like, all this stuff based off of just first appearance. They say people don't judge a book by its cover, but everyone does. And it, I think no matter what, it's just a subconscious. And that is part of branding. Like, hey, I value the marketing. I'm valuing how I'm going to portray myself to the world. I value me. I value what I am doing. I value myself enough and I value our company enough because I'm confident that we're going to solve issues. And that's what people see. That is why people come to you and want to work with you, because they're going to be like, huh, like I can see this organization. I can see this from a subconscious level. I'm like, they got it together. I want to build a relationship with this guy. Yes, we can go into the values and stuff, but that's from the first appearance. That's what it really comes down to. I had a client I was talking to earlier, and he owns a gym in the Chicago area. And he was like, hey, like we had great growth last year. He's like, I don't know how much of it's coming from our reputation management and our SEO stuff that we do for our clients, which is search engine optimization, if you don't know. And I basically told him, I'm like, he's like, we had a gym closed down the street. And that gym, a lot of their members came here, and he's like, I just don't know how much of it came from your efforts compared to them just coming here. And I'm like, listen, I'm like, one, I'm like, you are now at this point where that is branding. If those people, just because that gym down the street closed, does not necessarily mean that they were going to choose you. They could have easily gone to a different gym. They could have easily not gone to a gym. They could have easily done at home gym. And it's the fact that you are able to build your reputation and have advocates and have that experience that I've been preaching on here, that you have that made them choose you. So yes, that is part of what we are doing for you, is getting them and those non-numbers of people coming in that you can't track. Like that probably wouldn't have been as successful without these efforts that we're doing with you. And so I just say that because I want people to, I'm really ingrained to get people to understand, like, yes, you are authentic. The who you are as a person, you are a brand. And you have the right to build your brand however you want. Just know that the way you portray yourself to the world is how other people are going to see you. If you're not a nice person, people are going to see you that way. I had a client once that owned a health company, and he was very egotistical. And I didn't know until about 3 months into our contract, he just displayed very differently than when our values. But it's now that I know him as a person, because if he acts like this as a person, I think it just is a common cycle. That people just think that, hey, we just need to go out and build a logo and you know, build this website. Those are important, but it's really the experiences and the positioning that you set, that foundation, that groundwork of who you are, that help teach you how to be a better business leader.
Exactly. So my last two questions for you. Who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
You know, honestly, funny enough, I could say, being in this field, I could say Alex Hormozi, but at the end of the day, I'm very big into Chris Doe. I'm very big into Chris Doe. I'm watching his cast because he talks a lot about value. And a lot of my C's, I continue to develop and improve on myself and stuff. Value is a common term that keeps coming up in my mind that I'm continuing to try to grasp on the different volumes of how value pertain to branding, from different aspects of self to connection to contribution to confidence. And I love what he's doing with his brand and teaching, really teaching other people how to find more value in themselves. And so I would say Chris Doe.
And you know, I want to add another C to your list of C's. Chris, the fitness guy. See what I did there?
I'll do that. I'll go confidence, contribution, connection, and crazy fitness guy.
Exactly. See what I did there? And that's smart branding.
That's smart branding right there.
And my last question for you, oh my gosh, if I can speak, blah, 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 blah. Where can people follow you, find you, and learn more information about who you are and what you do?
Definitely. So as of right now, we have built a private podcast. And within this private podcast, we help people learn how they can start building that, leaders in the gym space start to build that sustainable lead flow in just 5 minutes a day. It's a 3-series private podcast. We go in a little bit more in depth into the positioning, the experience share, and the reputation management. And then we kind of show them how they can take advantage of those to start really making it to that next level. And so if anyone wants to find me, go to that podcast, go to leavethatmark.com, sign up for the private podcast, and take a listen. You'll really enjoy it.
Awesome. And I'm on definitely have you back later on this year, so you can, because we have probably 1,000 more other topics to cover, and we can make a part two.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it. I'm definitely down.
Awesome. In the meantime, I'll talk to you later, and I hope you have a good rest of your day. Or is it nighttime? I don't know.
It's only 4:40 here, so it's getting there.
Ah, well, you're lucky you. You got more hours. That's nighttime here. Damn.
Good luck on your test, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
So that's all the time we have for today. Remember, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite. We're honored to have you as part of our audience. If you're looking for a more immersive experience, we invite you to join our private community, where you'll get exclusive access to Jimmy Clare, expert guests, and a community of high achievers. Click the link in our show notes to learn more and apply. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you thought of this episode. Your feedback matters.
Hey, this is Jimmy Clare, and I just want to say thank you for being a loyal and supportive Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast subscriber. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you, our show wouldn't be possible, and we wouldn't still be standing today. Thank you for your support and everything that you have done over the years to keep us in business. Thank you.